Welcome to the Linguist Lounge, a podcast dedicated to all us world language teachers who want a place for ideas, humor, and professional development. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or just starting out in the field of language education, we aim to offer valuable insights and practical tips to help you improve your teaching skills that will better connect you with your students and your craft. From classroom strategies and lesson planning to cultural immersion and technology integration, we cover it all in a fun, quick, and engaging way that will leave you feeling inspired and motivated to take your teaching to the next level. Well, 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 look what the cat dragged in. Or, I guess in this instance, the cat wouldn't be really dragging anything because this is a podcast and I'm not sure one can actually hold a podcast, but I'm certain that I owe you all a little bit of an explanation, but I wish I had one for you other than the fact that just life gets busy sometimes and we, after fall break, kind of just fell apart. I say fell apart. It wasn't like a bad thing. It just... we got busy and we didn't have time to really keep up with recording this. So welcome to the second season of the Linguist Lounge. I will be by myself this time. We might have some guests here and there, but for now, I'll just be me. A lot has happened since the last time we spoke. I think the last time we spoke was in September. So it's been almost a year. That is crazy. I love that it seems like it's been 2 weeks since the last episode came out. If that tells you anything about growing up and getting older, it's just crazy how much time flies by. But this season, we'll be doing a lot of the same. We'll be talking about some tips and tricks for us as language teachers and just teachers in general on how to garner engagement, how to just make our lives and our careers easier and more enjoyable for us. And since we last spoke, I have gotten to do lots of amazing things. I went to Italy with some students and some colleagues of mine and had just a fantastic time. For those of you who do not know this, I like literally came back, as you do as a millennial person. You come back from spending time abroad and you're like, oh, I have to move there. I have to uproot my entire life that I've known for 30 plus years and I have to move to a different country. Italy was beautiful. It was relaxing. We were really going and going and going, but it really was quite a relaxing time. We saw the Colosseum. We saw the Pantheon. We went to an acetaia and saw some balsamic vinegar being made, and that was an extremely fun process. Did you know it takes 7 years to make one bottle of balsamic vinegar? I did not know that. That's an amazing, amazing thing that people, they usually buy like sets of barrels. They're called batteries when maybe a child is born or when people get married, and then they just rotate the vinegar from one barrel to the next until they get this tiny little barrel and maybe get like 3 or 4 bottles like every 7 years. And I just think that that is an amazing thing that really speaks highly to like the craft of Italy. Just in everything that they do, they really steep it in history and tradition, and I just love that so much. And it was, yeah, the trip of a lifetime, literally. Came back, told my wife, I'm like, we have to move to Italy. We were looking at places and everything, but ultimately just decided that for this season of our lives, this is where we're supposed to be, so we're here still. Other than that, I am going to be taking some students to Barcelona in the next summer, and I'm super thrilled about that. I think we're going to have a lot of fun for 10 or 9 days, getting to see some really cool stuff and do some really cool things there. So really excited for that and just excited for the school year to get started again. I would be lying if I'm telling you, if I told you that I'm ready for it to start again, because that's not true. We're still in the dead heat of summer. Do people use the expression dead heat? I don't think that that's what we use. I think we say the dead of winter, maybe. But if you know what the expression is, leave me, send me an email or leave a comment on an Instagram post that I'm sure that will come from this video. I don't know. I really have no idea. The heat of summer. How about that? The heat of summer. But I am excited to get back into school to have another 100 or so kids that I get to know and be a part of their lives. And it's always a sad thing, the end of a year, because you you do let a lot of kids go that you really got to know and got to spend time with and enjoyed being with. And then the good thing for me is that I teach upper division, so I do get to have a lot of the kids again. So I'll have probably 30, 35 or so that I've had for already two semesters, and then I'll have maybe like 60 or so new ones. So I am excited for that. I thought that what we could do for the first episode of season two, I can't believe I'm saying that, season two. We had a really great season last time. I think that we had some really interesting episodes, and I'm really excited for this season as well. But I thought we could do kind of a rundown of some things that I learned last year as a teacher. I, for a little bit of context and background, I'm going into my eighth year of being a teacher. I have taught in elementary school. That was a bust. That really was not my calling, if you will. I loved the kids, but just like the content and like having to teach people, little people that have really a hard time concentrating on anything for more than like 5 minutes was not it. That was not the move. But I've taught in elementary school, I've taught in middle school, I've taught in high school, I've taught in public schools, I've taught in private schools. So I really have run the gamut of knowing as much, I say knowing as much as you can, but that's not necessarily true. But I have experiences all across all levels and all across all forms of education. So, you know, and with that, I think that really there's something to be learned every single year. So I've just got a few things here that I would like to share with you all about what I've learned in the last year. The first thing that I wrote down was, it ain't even that serious. And what I mean by that is that at the end of the day, obviously we want to make sure that the students understand what we're teaching them, right? Like, we want to make sure that we deliver the content. That's our job. But what I believe is even more important is the fact that we have to make sure that they feel safe, right? They feel mentally safe, physically safe. And really it's about them. You know, if I go into a classroom and I can tell that like the climate's a bit off, and that's just something that, you know, as you've been teaching as long as some of us have, you can kind of like walk into a room and like immediately know what the kids say, what the tea is, the vibes, you know. I'm trying to make myself sound younger and hipper. It's not really working because I am in my mid-30s after all, but I think that if you can walk into a classroom, know what's going on, and know how to adjust your expectations as a teacher to like shift your mindset to helping the people that are in that room, something that I found has been really like powerful and interesting is just like taking 5-6 minutes to just do something like random. So I have this, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I have this coloring book, and it's sort of like it's a Japanese coloring book that was translated into Spanish, and it has all these like little lines. It's kind of like a finish the drawing kind of book, where it gives you like a line, or it gives you a squiggle, or it gives you some kind of prompt in Espanol, por supuesto, and it tells you to like finish it, or draw eyes on this face, or turn this into a city scene or something. And it's great because it is in Spanish. I mean, it doesn't have to be necessarily, but it's great because it gives the opportunity for them to do something that's not just listen to me talk or work on a skill or build a grammar concept or learn vocabulary words. It gives them the opportunity to take a few minutes to just calm down, to just kind of get their, like, you know, nervous system more well adjusted. And it also gives me an opportunity to kind of get around. I think that that's something that sometimes we don't always do as teachers. Like, we're not able to be in every single place at the same time. You know, if you have 32 kids in your classroom, you're only one person. So it's really important to give yourself and build time into your schedule the ability to get around to different kids and different tables. And so if you have 6 table groups, for instance, you can spend one day at one table, one day at the next table, one day at the next table. And it does kind of give you like a touch point for every kid. There have been several times this last year where I have left a semester or left leaving the end of this year where I thought, man, I really did not get to connect with that kid. I felt like I knew their name. I might have known what they were involved in. But you know, apart from that, I didn't really know anything about them. And I think that that really gives me an opportunity to do that. And so that's the first thing. It ain't even that serious, right? At the end of the day, and at the end of the year, and at the end of your life, you're going to have taught. right? The kids are going to have learned something from you. And I think that it's equally important to realize that if they like you and if they care about what you're doing, you're going to get some kind of buy-in from them. And I think that creating that buy-in is really, you know, through any kind of method, you know, is so important. But yeah, the second thing is make it fun. And I know that that's like a buzzword in education. A couple of years ago when I taught at a really incredibly emotionally abusive private school, one thing that they said was that we have to be entertainers. And while I don't agree with that statement, I don't think that we're here to entertain. I do think that it is our job to make learning fun, you know? And I think that's just as much for like them as it is for you. I believe that as a teacher, like if something is really boring, chances are I'm probably not going to want to talk about it for like a long time. And so I'm always looking for some way to make something interesting and engaging. For me, and I've said this many, many times on this podcast, this is not a new statement by any means, but for me, I absolutely love music and I love being able to get kids to connect to the language through a song or through an artist. And I've had many stories of, I can think of one kid, for instance, I don't think he would mind if I used his name, but his name is Christian. And he was not like, you know, super interested in the language necessarily, but something that really kind of like surprised me was one day he was asking me to play all these songs by a specific artist. And I was like, did you like Lagos? And he was like, yeah, they're like my favorite band. Like I listen to them all the time. They're on my playlist. And that really like, you know, that showed me that no matter how he felt about Spanish, you know, that he really was connecting to what I was doing through the music. And that was really fun. Another thing is, and I know this is another kind of like buzzword in education that I'm not really like super on board with in terms of like, I think it's a little bit cringe, but the gamification of things. I always read the word gamification and I say it like gamification because I just think that it's funny. And I think, like I said, I think it's a little bit cringy, but making things into a game, right? There are so many companies, there are so many like platforms out there that are doing this super well, and you do not have to reinvent the wheel. You know, I always go to like GameKit because my kids really enjoy GameKit. I know that there's like other things out there as well. But my kids love GameKit. So I go to GameKit and I type in like school supplies, Spanish school supplies or something like that. That's just something that's on my mind because that's what I usually, one of the first things I teach. And you can come up with a list of vocabulary, a list of verbs that already exist. You can go in there and edit what you want if you save it to your own profile and play it. And they love it. They literally cannot get enough of it. At the end of the year, if you ask your kids what they liked the most, they're probably going to say GameKit days, which I know can be, you know, seemingly sort of a cop-out because for you, you're not really doing a whole lot. But sometimes that's what you need, right? I think that kids learn more when we're not like instructing for 40 to 50 minutes. I have always said that I want to be talking for like 15 to 20 minutes per class. You know, the rest can be like indirect instruction where I can travel around the room and get to as many people as possible. But the concept doesn't have to be like the end all be all of your day, right? You can incorporate other ways to get that across. Even in my AP classes, they know that we're here because we're learning, you know, how to talk about at length these topics like contemporary life or family or health or anything that, you know, falls into those six categories. But they also like, they're like, can we please play GameKit? Please, our brains are soaked. They're turning into mush. And I always let them play at least once, like, you know, every few weeks, just because they do love it and it is fun for them. And it's also another, and I'm sure there's a term for this, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. But a lot of times they learn through getting things wrong, you know? So if I put something on there or if there is something in there, I'm gonna be honest with you. Most of the time it's just cause I left it in there and I just didn't know it. Like sometimes Vosotros be getting in there. You know what I'm saying? Like I love that, they can learn about things that not necessarily would get in class. They can learn through a game. And I think that, you know, extra learning, ancillary learning, if you will, is super important as well. So if you can find ways to make it fun, you will be successful. I have a friend who is going into his first year of teaching, and he was asking me just like some tips and tricks on how to like, you know, make his day run smoothly and how to get buy-in, essentially. And that was one of the first things I told him, like, you have to make it fun. You have to make it a game. You know, everything, I think even for us as adults, like, if something is competitive or if something is a game, we're not all competitive people, but if we are challenged in a way that is suiting, you know, our particular skill set, I believe that we all do better. So I think that that's what I've learned this year. And that's been more of a consistent thing for throughout my entire career, has been like, find a way to make it fun, find a way to connect it to their lives. Another thing is, not only can you make it into a game, but how can I teach this skill in a way that makes them interested in it, right? So for example, if you're talking about sports, you may want to mention their favorite players, right? So we have a lot of kids at my high school who play sports. Like, it seems like every kid is involved in some kind of sport or another. And so if I can find, it was mostly soccer in the Spanish speaking world, or football, but if I can talk about Messi, or if I can talk about Maradona, which a lot of the kids don't even know who that is. What a sad little sad existence. But if you can find a way to incorporate those people that they know, I think another thing is clothing. Whenever in the world language, you know, realm, we're talking about pieces of clothing. If they have an opportunity to show you what kind of clothing they like, they are very much into that as well. That's something that we always do, is like put a catalog together, and they can like show me like, whoa, this is the kind of clothes that I would wear. And I think that that's really fun. So make it fun, make it about them. And that's really going to be able to get them to connect with what you're teaching them. The third thing is the supreme importance of routines. And I know that we all have this really, you know, we go into every semester and every new year with the idea or the expectation that we're going to be like laying the law down, right? We're going to say, this is what I want and this is what I will not accept. And if you're like me, you may do that for a few minutes, a few, we'll say weeks, maybe not minutes. That sounds very like I've just let it go at the first drop of a dime, but maybe the first month or so you're like, okay. And then you'd have no follow through whatsoever. And I think that that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that's a natural part of being a human, is like being able to, wanting to encourage some kind of behavior and then just not having the time or the bandwidth to like make sure that the follow through is there. So making sure that your routine is first of all attainable, and second of all is sustainable, right? So can I achieve this, and will I achieve this long term? So that may look like setting a timer for yourself, right? I think that you can get a 3-pack of like kitchen timers off Amazon for less than $10. Those have been so crucially important for me. If I say we're gonna take 5 minutes to do this, I will get sidetracked, because I definitely am an adult. I definitely have adult ADHD, right? So if I say we're gonna take 5 minutes to do this, if I go around the class, it may be 20 minutes by the time is over, by the time that we're done, it's all said and done, right? Because I get sidetracked, a kid asks me a question, I am just naturally prone to making things a little bit longer than they need to be. Throwback to all the episodes that I had to splice in half last semester, because I literally would talk for like an hour and a half, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not going to be able to be, no one's going to enjoy listening to an hour and a half of us speaking. And so what I like to do is just set a timer for myself, right? And I say, okay, 5 minutes. I usually go for 6 or 7, something that like is odd, because they are like, I don't know, for some reason, like at 6 or 7 minutes is just easier for them to like pay attention to. 5 minutes is just so, we say 5 minutes just so off the cuff all the time. And I think, okay, 7 minutes and 13 seconds, right? The kids are like, why 7 minutes and 13? I'm like, because it's just going to be a time that we're all going to remember. So setting a timer for yourself is like really a great way to hold yourself accountable. And that's something that's not only attainable, but it's also sustainable, right? I can carry that timer notion throughout the semester. Another thing that I love to do is I love to buy enough timers for the amount of tables that I have, right? So if I have 6 sets of tables, I'll buy 6 timers, and I'll give every table a timer, and I'll have some kid keep time for me, right? And then that takes the responsibility off my plate a little bit, but it also gives them a little bit of responsibility too. I think that that's one thing in high school that we often miss. And it's just because, like, a lot of times when you think about classroom jobs, I think about like littles, right? Like first grade, second grade, maybe third grade. I'm not sure how far up into the, you know, lower elementary school they do this, but, you know, oh, we're going to have a line leader, we're going to have a board eraser, and we're going to have a tissue grabber. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. But, you know, classroom jobs can be as general as you want them to be, right? Okay, you're keeping time, right? I don't have to be like, you're the timekeeper. You get to keep the stopwatch and you get to put 5 minutes on it. No, you're going to take the stopwatch. You're going to take the clock. You're going to put 5 minutes on it. And then whenever it's done, you're going to let everybody know. Or like, you know, they can probably hear it because I'm sure it has a sound on it. But I do think that's a way to give people a little bit of responsibility. Also take a little bit off your plate and just make things better. Another thing is like, if you're going to have, especially in high school, if you're going to have an 87 or 90 minute block, you have got to segment your classes, right? So I'm saying, you have a warm-up that takes 5 to 10 minutes. You have daily slides that take 10 to 15 minutes. You are going to give instruction for 20 minutes. I think that making sure, especially if you're like a first-year or second-year teacher, or if you're just trying to change the way that you maybe do your day, you know, if you're trying to like, not encourage, but if you're trying to improve, how about that, your teaching style, or just maybe make your life a little bit easier, I think it would be really great to schedule out things to the minute, right? You don't have to necessarily keep it, you know, exactly that way, but you can say, okay, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes to do a warm-up or do a bell ringer. After that, I'm going to say, and I've literally already said all this, but I'm going to give myself 10 or 12 minutes to do my daily slides. But I would just keep a little post-it note, or if you're required to make lesson plans that are longer and written out, I would say warm up 5 minutes, daily slides 10 minutes, just so that you can average about 80 minutes. I would say plan for 80% or 75%, because I know, doing this for as many years as I have, 75% easily becomes 100%. And I love what one of my friends does, is she always plans like 5 activities, and most of the time she only gets to like 3 of them. And I think that that's great, because then you have something for tomorrow. And that always makes your planning a little bit easier too. So the importance of routines as a teacher has been so just amazingly important. I said the importance has been important. The Department of Redundancy Department is here today. But it's really amazing how much better your things work and how much better your classroom operates and functions if you have a routine in place. And what I mean by routine is, it, you know, it doesn't have to be like a strict thing, but if you just know what you're going to do, this is why lesson plans are important as well. If you know what you're going to do, you're going to be way more successful. That's what I've kept learning that through all the years of teaching. So routines, 100%, check mark. Okay, number 4, the thing that I have learned most this year is that literally the expression teamwork makes the dream work is not just an old adage that everyone likes to say. If you have a team that is willing to work with you on big projects, you will be amazed at how much you can get accomplished. And I have been so fortunate in the last few years to really have like a totally amazing team of people that I get to work with. And we have done so many cool things this year. We have done movie screenings. We have done 2 of those. We did one in the fall that every class got to go, I say every class, but every language class, every Spanish class got to go into the theater for 2 days and screen a movie that had just come out. I think it was A Million Miles Away. It was the Michael Pena story about the astronaut. That was spectacular. We were weeping at the end of it. It was so good. We put together a country project where the whole school got to come and taste foods from different countries, and the kids decorated the booths. It was amazing, sort of like a culture fair. We did Selena during her birthday week. And we did a cultural arts project where they, you know, the kids focused on like artists and musicians and poets and writers and anyone who had their hand in sort of like a arts movement designers, and they made presentations about them. It was so fun, and it was so incredible to watch the kids really show how much that they have learned, and also just like showcase what they thought was important, right? Because a lot of times we tell them what's important, but I think it's equally good for the kids to go out and decide for themselves what they like, what they think is important. And none of that would have been possible without the team that I work with. And just like the amount of learning, the amount of creativity that came out of that was so tremendous. And yeah, I mean, working with them has been such a joy. And I can't wait for this year because we have some big ideas that we're going to try again. Obviously, we're going to continue forth with what we did last year and just improve and improve as we do. But I love how much of a support system that is there in the department and get you some people. I think for a long time, I had to do things alone. And because of that, I got so used to doing everything myself, and I got so used and so incredibly used to having to do things for myself that I forgot what it felt like to work with a team of people that are all going for a common goal. And so, yeah, find your people, and it really does make your life so much more incredibly blessed. And yeah, everything that you can do is so much better and so much more enjoyable when you have people to like share that with. And then the last thing is going to be my hot take for the day. I have been quoted and have said many times on this podcast specifically that I did not like seating charts, but I need to tell y'all something that has bitten me multiple times this last year. I should have had seating charts. I should have created, especially for the lower classes. I would say the upper division classes are all there usually because they have chosen to be there. A lot of them are choosing to continue with their study of language. They're going to try their best pretty much every single day. I mean, obviously we'll have a one-off, especially if it's like the last block of the day and everybody's ready to go home. But the importance of a seating chart, especially in the lower classes, the lower division classes, just to keep it easy for you, you know, if I think that especially going in like in August when we go in, I think just taking note of like, okay, well, they're sitting together, but they probably shouldn't be because I noticed today they was talking a whole lot. That's really going to make your life easier. So I'm switching my not to a hot, and I'm going to try it again. I'm just going to see how it works. I will report back, obviously. But yeah, seating chart, definitely need one, especially if you are, well, I'm saying this for new teachers. If you're a new teacher, you absolutely need one. If you're an older, I say older, but I don't mean like old. I mean like if you've been teaching for a while, you probably could benefit from one as well. So I'm going to try one again this year. And like I said, I'll report back about how it goes. I'm excited, like I said earlier, for the new year that's coming up. I will be enjoying my last few weeks of summer before I switch my brain into full steam ahead Spanish mode, school mode. I feel like in the summer, I always forget like how to do my life. Like I'm waking up at like 8:45 every day, and I'm like eating candy every night, and like what is happening, what am I doing with my life. But yeah, I'm enjoying it, definitely. I cannot make any promises about how often that these podcasts will come out. I think we'll say for now maybe one every 2 weeks, just to give myself time to sort of like create the content and sort of like plan out the episodes. If you guys have any suggestions for any content or any episodes, then please reach out. I would love to hear from you all. As always, you guys are you know, the reason why I'm doing this. Obviously, I enjoy talking about the things that I do, but also like I want to share the expertise that I've gathered along the way with you guys. So if you have any ideas of content or anything, you can reach out Linguist Lounge at Linguist Lounge on Instagram. We're the Linguist Lounge on Facebook. You can send us a DM or you can email us linguistlounge@gmail.com. And yeah, until next time, we'll see you soon. Ciao. The Linguist would like to thank the following people for their help making this podcast possible. Christian Capozzi for use of your studio, you're the literal best. Our families for putting up with our crazy notions and allowing us to do it anyway. We love you all. Our friends for supporting and loving us, we are truly grateful for you. And to you for tuning in. We hope to see you again real soon. Intro and outro music by Brotheration Records. Podcast logo designed by Monday Morning Creative Studio.